I have a word from God. Psalms 110 and verse 3. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this service. Wow, Lord, already we have been so blessed. Your presence has been in this house in such a powerful way. And we never want to take your presence for granted. We ask you, Lord, now, take this word off of these pages. Plant it in our hearts. Let it come alive within us, Lord. Lord, I ask you to touch us, touch me. I cannot do anything without you. It is the anointing that destroys the yoke. And we thank you for the anointing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Say, I am one of his people. In Psalm 62 and 11, it says, God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. And then in Psalms 21 and 13, it says, be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength. So will we sing and praise thy power. Matthew 28 and 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Every one of these verses, I guess you have heard, there is a theme, power, the power of God. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. There's no doubt today. I don't think anyone would disagree with me. God is a God of power. He is a God of might and dominion. There's nothing he cannot do. He can bring rivers out of a rock. He did it. He can divide the Red Sea with the breath of his nostrils. That's what he did. He can cause the sun and moon to stand still with the word. He can calm the raging storm with the word. Peace be still. He can burn cancer out of a body. He can open blind eyes. He can deliver the drug addict and the alcoholic. And he can restore broken marriages. All things are possible to him that believeth. We serve an almighty God who has power. And I think we can say that we're all in agreement that our God is a God of power and might. In our text that we're reading today, it says this, thy people, everybody say, that's me. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Now think about this. That makes a distinction that although God is powerful, and although God is all powerful, omnipotent, that makes a distinction today that there is a time, a specific time called a day of visitation and revelation. It's not in particular talking about a time frame of 24 hours a day, but it's talking about a season and a time of visitation and revelation and manifestation. When there is a visitation of the presence of God with the revelation and the manifestation of his power, it produces a willingness of heart. So we can sing about it, preach about it, talk about it, and we can shout about it, and still people will remain cold, slothful, and indifferent. But a day of God's power changes everything. A visitation, a revelation, a manifestation of the power of God causes the heart to do willingly what it had done grudgingly or not at all. When the power of God shows up, people pray willingly. They sing willingly. They worship willingly. They attend church willingly. They read the Bible willingly. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. 100 years of programs. could not accomplish what one day of God's power will do. What we need in 2023, like never before, we need a day of God's power. Again, I'm not talking about 24 hours where we just have one Sunday and we have one day when God shows up and visits. I'm talking about a season. I'm talking about a period of time. I'm talking about a century. I'm talking about God's glory and power being poured out on us. Without the power of God, the Pentecostal Church of God is just a name. It's the Holy Spirit who brings the power. It's the Holy Spirit who is the power of Pentecost. Remember, it is not by might and it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Power. The day of your powers changes everything. Power means strength. It means might. It means energy. It means ability. It means the power and ability and strength and energy to make a difference, to change a situation. Power is not power until it makes a difference. There's all kinds of power. There's solar power, nuclear power, atomic power, hydropower, steam power, electrical power. There's all kinds of power. But the thing that follows in theme through all of it is this. Power is the ability to change things, to make a difference. So we can tell the world we've got power. We can talk about the Holy Ghost. We can speak in tongues. But truthfully, if it hasn't changed our lives, if it hasn't made a difference in us, between us and the world, then all it is a lot of empty words. Because power makes a difference. We can easily recognize the power of God in the Word of God because it always made a difference. It changed the situation. Illustrations. God looked into the darkness in Genesis. He said, "Let there be light," and the light turned on. Jesus looked at death in the coffin, the widow's son. He said, "Let there be life," and the widow's son sat up in the coffin and started talking. Jesus looked at the storm that was raging, and he said, "Peace, be still," and the waves lay at his feet like a lap dog. Jesus looked at the leper. He said, "Be clean." And instantly he was made clean. And every open sore dried up. And every missing body part was restored. Jesus spit into the dirt. Made a little mud ball. Rubbed it into a blind man's eyes. He said, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." He went and washed. The Bible says he came seeing. A man who had never seen the sky, the flowers, or looked into his mama's face. Came back with perfect sight. Power makes a difference. Jesus said to the legion in the demoniac, "Go!" And over 2,000 demons were evicted. That was a day of God's power. That was a time of visitation. That was a time of revelation and manifestation when Jesus walked this earth. In Exodus 19, 18 and 19, it says this. When God came down on Mount Sinai with fire and smoke and the sound of a trumpet blasting supernaturally, it says, so terrible was the sight that Moses said, "I exceedingly fear and tremble." That was the day of God's power when the people said to Moses, "Just tell us what to do and we'll do it." When God visited 120 in an upper room in Jerusalem, he filled them with the Holy Ghost and fire. That was a day of God's power. When God visited a humble shack on a little back street in Los Angeles called Azusa, he filled his people with the Holy Ghost and fire. That was a day of God's power. When Peter took a lame man who had never walked by the hand and he lifted him up and he went walking and leaping and praising God. That was a day of God's power. Hallelujah, friend. Hebrews 13 and 8 said, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. If that's so, and we know it is, then the question today is this. What is it going to take in the year of 2023 for us to see, for us to witness, for us to be active participants in another day of God's power? That's a good question. I asked that question of the Lord. I said, Lord, I can see all of that in the Word. That was a day of your power. All these different occasions, experiences, manifestations were days of visitation of your power and your glory. I said, God, in 2023, what is it going to take to see another day of your power? And he gave me a one answer word. Hunger. 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 Look at your neighbor and say, are you hungry? Say, are you hungry yet? Hunger. I could easily have titled this message, Hunger. Because this is the number one requirement, prerequisite for a move of God, for a visitation of God, for a day of God's power, is spiritual hunger. Psalm 63, 1 and 2 said, oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. What for? To see your power and your glory as I have seen you in the sanctuary. Now listen, I don't want to sound harsh. I don't want to sound uncaring. But the truth is, I don't think we in America really know how to be hungry. Now give me a little bit of grace. I don't mean no one in America is suffering from hunger. I know that's not true. But I mean by and large, we the church, for the most part, do not suffer from physical hunger. So we don't really know how to translate that physical hunger into spiritual hunger. And the truth is this, that hunger, even from a physical, just a physical standpoint, it will drive people to do things they would never do otherwise. When a mother looks at her child crying because they're hungry and they have nothing to feed them, it can make even the sweetest people act in a way that is completely contrary to their personality. Hunger is powerful. It's one of the most powerful driving forces in the earth. But something you have to know about hunger, it has to be cultivated. Spiritual hunger. It's a gift. It's a gift. Because you cannot make yourself spiritually hungry. So it's a gift. Everybody say it's a gift.
It's a gift.
But it is also a charge and a responsibility. Because you will never become spiritually hungry if you don't stir up what you already have. So it's a gift and it's a charge. At the same time, you must make a move toward God. You must let Him see your intention. You cannot just say, well, God knows my heart. And that's enough. You can't do it. So you got to understand, it's true. God knows your heart. God is watching and God is listening to see how your heart translates its intentions into actions. Are you with me? Oh, God knows my heart. Oh, yeah, He does know your heart. He knows everybody's heart, good or bad. He knows it all. But He's watching to see how your heart translates your intentions into actions. One of the greatest scriptures in the Bible does not say God is a rewarder of those whose hearts are filled with an internal hunger and desire for Him. It says God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That's how the heart translates desire into action. That gets God's attention and it gets rewarded. You've got to be a seeker, hallelujah. Not just a thinker, not just a speaker, but a seeker.
Yes.
Remember Jesus teaching on the subject prayer. He made the statement. He said, you have not. Because you ask not. Well, Lord, you know what I need. No, He said, you don't get it if you don't ask. Somebody said, well, the Lord knows what you need. He'll just give it to you if you need it. No, that's not what the Bible says. It says, you have not because you ask not. Jesus was the greatest teacher on prayer that ever lived. And Jesus explained to them what he meant by asking. He gave them three levels of asking. He said number one is the asking level. Number two is the seeking level. Number three is the knocking level. He's telling them the kind of prayer that gets answered is not just a casual glance to the sky accompanied by the words, "Lord, you know what I need." No, he said these are three intentional increasing levels of prayer that make up the prayer that get God's attention. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. And then add knocking and keep on knocking. All three illustrations combined to constitute the kind of prayer that God answers. How many want God to answer your prayer? Isaiah, he's a true prophet of God. True as could be. And so Isaiah, he's not a beginner. He's not a stranger to the presence of God. Isaiah chapter 6, he had one of the most outstanding visitations when King Uzziah died. He said, "I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. He saw coals of fire on the altar, and an angel of God that took a coal of fire from off the altar and pressed it to his lips." So Isaiah was no stranger to the glory and the presence of God. But Isaiah began to hunger in Isaiah 63, chapter 63, almost at the close of his book. He begins to hunger for another day of God's power. And it didn't start like a raging fire. Let me just tell you something. You have to tend the fire. You have to keep the fire burning. It is not God's responsibility to keep the fire burning in your life. It is not even my responsibility to keep the fire burning in your life. It is your responsibility. So Isaiah begins to hunger for another day of God's power. But it didn't start out like a raging fire. It just begins, and I'm going to read it to you, but it just begins with a desire just to know that God was watching over him. So he says this, let's follow Isaiah on this hunger journey. And I think God will speak to us today. In Isaiah 63:15, he says, "Look down from heaven and behold from the habitation of thy holiness and thy glory." So he starts by saying, "Lord, just look down from heaven on me. Lord, just to know you're looking at me. Just to know I'm that important to you. Just to know that you care that much about me, that I have your attention." That's a good thing right there. I tell you, to know that you've got his attention. But listen to his words. Something starts happening in Isaiah's heart, and it gets bigger. This hunger starts growing, and it keeps on growing till he can no longer be satisfied just to know that God was watching over him. And he breaks out into this prayer. "Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains may flow down at thy presence, as when the melting fire burneth. The fire causes the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at your presence." Now, friend, I don't know about you, but I'm hungry for a day of God's power. Like David, my soul is thirsty, and my flesh longs to see the power and the glory of God in the sanctuary. I'm going to ask you, what in the world would evoke such words from this man, this prophet, this man of God? It was spiritual hunger. It was the fire of desire. He started with a little kindling. "Lord, just to know you're watching over me. It does my heart good. It comforts me. It calms my fears." But friends, something happened. That little kindling ignited something in him, and he started sounding like a man who was desperate. You know, there's times when you get the munchies and just a little snack will tide you over until the next full meal. But Isaiah, he's gone way past the munchies. His spirit has caught fire. His words come rushing out of his mouth like a river. And he says, "Oh, that one word, that stopped me. That stopped me. I was reading through that passage of scripture and I heard that one word and I went, oh my God, there's something in that word. That one word is so filled with passion. That one word is so filled with desire. And there's so much longing in it. And it's like he's saying, oh my God in heaven, please hear my heart. And then he says, I would that you would rend the heavens and come down. Are you feeling the passion of this man of God? Are you feeling the desire of this man of God? He says, Lord, I know that you're up there and you can see us, but we can't see you. God, please rip the heavens apart and come down here, because we need you down here, not just watching over us. We need you here in our midst. We need your tangible manifest presence in our midst, right here, right now. And then he tells God, we expect some real evidences of your presence with us. Whew. Talk about the presence of God. Don't tell me about the presence of God and nobody ever gets touched. Don't tell me about the presence of God and nobody's life ever gets changed. Don't tell me about the presence of God. Nobody ever gets a breakthrough. Nobody ever gets a miracle. Nobody ever gets healed. Nobody ever gets delivered. Because if the presence of God is really there, there will be results. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. I think we need to pray in the Holy Ghost. Come on, lift your hands and pray in tongues. Oh, we hunger for you, Lord. We hunger for you, Lord. We thirst for you, Lord God. We long for your presence. Oh, we long for you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. So he starts telling God, we expect some real evidences of your presence with us. He says, we expect that the mountains will flow down at your presence. As when the melting fire burns and the fire causes the waters to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries. He's describing a dimension of the presence of God that melts mountains. Ooh, hallelujah. He's describing a glory of God. It's not just a soft, gentle wave of his presence wafting in on the breeze. He's describing a presence of God that melts mountains and a burning fire that causes the waters to boil. Many times when the Bible speaks of waters or seas, it's speaking about people. So Isaiah is speaking about a tangible, manifested presence of God that will cause people to boil. See, maybe you weren't aware of it and you didn't really know what was happening, but that's what was happening over here this morning. She was on the fire and she was boiling. Woo! Glory to God. And some of it boiled over on us. Praise God. It causes the fire, causes the water to boil. People to boil. Now it's different. There's different. There's action now. When you put a pot of water on the fire, it just sits there. It just sits there. But there's something different between a pot of water and a boiling hot pot of water. A pot of water just sits there, no movement. There's no concern that you might get burnt by it. But when the fire gets turned up hot enough, yeah, and that pot of water starts to boil, it's different now. Everybody say, it's different now.
It's different now.
Somebody wrote a song one time and said, it's different now since Jesus saved my soul. It's different now since by his blood I'm whole. Glory to God, it's different now. There's a difference. Something happens. There's activity, there's action, there's movement in the pot, and there is an awareness, this could burn me, this could affect me, this could evoke some kind of response. Yeah. if it got on me. I just wish it'd get on somebody else. This could make me scream. Everybody got popped by some hot grease. And I mean really popped by some hot grease. Did you go, oh? Now, if you get really popped by a lot of hot grease, you go, oh! Oh! And your wife says, what's wrong? I just got popped by some hot grease. But the husband says, what's wrong? It evokes some kind of response. And I'm here to tell you today, there's a dimension of the presence and the glory of God that can burn you. I mean, it can set your soul on fire. It can even make you feel like your flesh is on fire. It can set you to boiling. It can change things. It's the kind of anointing that makes devils cry out because it's too hot for them. Oh, hallelujah. Everybody say, turn up the heat, Jesus. So friend, is there anybody here like Isaiah who would say, Lord, rend the heavens and come down? Yes. See, we're seeing something here. He is cultivating something. He is cultivating his heart desire. He stirred up the coals of his spirit. The Bible says you got to stir up the gift that's in you. If you want to stir up the presence of God, you must be a worshiper. And it doesn't matter, friend, if you're a singer or not. God's not grading us on our talent. The Bible doesn't say God's looking for singers. It says he is a spirit, and he's looking for those that will worship him in spirit and in truth. You may not be able to carry a tune in a bucket. You may sing off key 2/3 of the time. It doesn't matter to God. The only key God is listening for is the key of worship. What was Isaiah doing? Listen, what was he doing? He was praying. He was praying. He was pouring out his heart to God. He was telling God the desire of his heart. We are never going to see another day of God's power. Let's say that again. We are never going to see another day of God's power on planet Earth without prayer.
Amen.
It won't happen. Let me just say this. I'm deeply grateful for the people that we have on our text list, that our prayer family. At any moment of time, I can shoot a text out, and I instantly have people responding that I know are praying about that situation and about that matter. I think that's wonderful. I treasure that. That is glorious. But that's not the kind of prayer that will cause God to rend the heavens and come down. That's prayer requests for needs that we're offering, that we're sending out, that we're expressing to God. But we've got to have some designated, intentional, passionate, vocalized prayer and intercession. Now listen to this. Until we pray, every blessing is completely owing to the abundant, overflowing generosity of God. Until we pray. You got that? Until we pray, every blessing we receive is completely owing to the abundant, overflowing generosity of God. But when we pray, we have a divine right of expectation. When we pray, we have a divine right to expect that God will intentionally look our way, hear our prayer, and answer our prayer in accordance with our prayers. When we pray. The only person on Mount Carmel that day, when Elijah was there with all the children of Israel and all of the false prophets of Baal and with King Ahab, the only person on that mountain that day that expected fire from heaven and rain was Elijah. And do you know why? Because Elijah's the only one that prayed. His prayer gave him a right of divine expectation. Where he sent his servant out and he said, go look toward the sea. His servant came back and said, I don't see nothing. Elijah keeps on praying. Sends his servant back. Why? Because he's praying. Yeah. What does that mean? That means I expect an answer. Yeah. If I'm praying, I expect an answer. That's the God that I serve. God answers prayer, but he only answers a prayer that's prayed. So, Elijah expected an answer. I wonder what would happen if we took Isaiah's prayer here and we made it a model for our prayer, and we prayed that God would come down in our midst, and God would come down in our lives in such a way that every mountain in our lives would be burned up, every objection, every resistance, every habit, every attitude, every sickness, and that we would start boiling in our love, in our devotion to God. I just wonder what would happen if every single one of us took that prayer and made that a heart prayer through the week and said, "Oh Lord, we're glad to know that you're looking at us, and we want you to be looking at us. We want you to be watching over us. There's such peace in knowing that you're watching over us. But oh God, that's not enough. We need you to break open the heavens. We need you to rip apart the heavens. We can't see you way up there. We need you to come down here. We need to see manifestations and demonstrations of your power and of your glory, of your spirit, of your anointing. We need you to see you turn the heat up and make the waters boil." I wonder, would we see another day of God's power? I believe we would. I believe we would. Because I believe that we can have as much of God, you can have individually as much of God as you want. You can be filled as much as you want to be filled as an individual. But we're not just talking about you as an individual. We're not just talking about your individual life. I'm not just talking about my individual life. I'm a person of prayer. I pray. But I'm just not just talking about my prayer life. I'm not just talking about how much of God I have in my study. I'm talking about how much of God we have in our assembling. How much of God we have on the platform. How much of God we have in the pew. How much of God we have on your pew. We're talking about the corporate life of prayer of the church. It's long been said, and it's said in truth, that the power of a church is determined by the prayers of the church. The church is no more powerful than the prayers of a church. You want to know the spiritual caliber of a church? Listen to their prayer life. While I'm on that subject, let me just say this. Every Thursday we meet for prayer, 10 o'clock here. Have been for years. COVID threw a wrench in it for a while, but we've been meeting here. We have some faithful people that meet here. The Ericksons are here every single time. 10 o'clock. Sister Cindy's here. Brother Al, Sister Claire's here. Sister Pam and myself are here. We've been doing this. Thank God there's prayers going on for this church. This is not prayer where we just come together and bring all of our needs and pray, "God, we need this and this person needs to be touched." This is where we come together and we pray as a corporate group. We pray corporately and we ask God for his anointing on the services. We ask God for his power. We ask God for his for deliverance, for miracles. We ask God for him to show up in our services. We ask him that he would take us to the next level. We're corporately seeking God. We're corporately expressing our desire and our hunger for God. We've got to have prayer. Without prayer, nothing happens. Nothing moves. Prayer moves the wheels.
That's right.
Every move of God that has ever taken place on the earth was initiated, sustained, and maintained through the prayers of the saints. What can we expect in a day of God's power? We can expect the supernatural becomes natural. Hard things become easy. The Holy Spirit flows freely. Sinners get saved. Saints get convicted, get sin out of their lives. The lukewarm get on fire. Miracles happen. Deliverance comes to the abound and the oppressed. And there is exceeding great joy.
Amen.
That's what we can expect when the day of God's power is manifested. And I believe I can say without any fear of contradiction that the church is well overdue for another day of God's power.
Amen.
Lift your hands and give Him some praise in the house.
Amen.
And tell Him, say, Lord, we're overdue for a day of Your power. True spiritual hunger, I'm almost done. True spiritual hunger is a prophecy in itself. You say, why did you say that? Because Jesus says, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you'll be filled.
Yeah. Amen.
True spiritual hunger is a prophecy that can never fail.
Amen.
It's impossible to have true spiritual hunger and not be filled.
Yeah.
Hunger is the most precise prophecy there is, because hunger creates the capacity for receiving. There may be the greatest outpouring of God's glory all around you, but if you're not hungry, it won't touch you. I believe today the greatest gift that can come to you individually and to us corporately as a body is hunger. Hunger that gives birth to prevailing prayer. Would you stand? To go back very quickly to the greatest teacher on prayer that ever lived. Jesus gives us a picture of prevailing prayer. He said a man had a friend, comes to him, has nothing to feed him. So this man goes to his friend at midnight. He knocks on the door, he asks for 3 loaves of bread. He says, friend, I have a friend that's come to my house and he's hungry and I have nothing to feed him. But his friend inside says to him, not tonight. The kids are all in bed. The wife is in bed. I'm in bed. We're done for the day. We're not in business right now. Come back another time. But his friend is outside banging on the door. Knocking on the door. He continues to knock. He continues to knock. And then he begins to holler out loud, please, friend, I need 3 loaves of bread. My friend has come to my house and I don't have anything to set before him. And he tells him, he said, man, do you know what time it is? We've already been in bed for 3 hours. Please, come back tomorrow. But he's still knocking on the door. He's knocking. He's hollering, friend, I've got a friend. He came to my house. He's hungry. I don't have anything to put before him. I just need 3 loaves of bread. And here's what Jesus said. Though he will not get up and give him bread because he's his friend, yet because of his importunity, his boldness, his shamelessness, his persistence, he will get up and give him as many as he needs.
Amen.
Jesus uses this story to impress on us the character, the quality, and the nature of prevailing prayer. What was Jesus' point about the whole thing? This kind of prayer gets answered. Not this kind of prayer that we just casually throw up. Just casually throw up without a second thought. This was intense. This was intentional. This was passionate. His heart was in it. There was determination in it. There was persistence in it. We're going to see a day of God's power. That's what it's going to take. That's what it's going to take. I want everybody in this house, if you say, I want to see a day of God's power in my life and in the church, I want you to come. Come quickly. This is a time for response to the word. I want to see a day of God's power in my life. I want to see a day of God's power in my church. I want to see a day of God's power in our community. I want to see a day of God's power in society. I've got to see God. And look at what Isaiah knows. I'm not the one. I can't do this. I can't do it. I can't change this. I can't change the government. I can't change all the stupid stuff that they're doing. I can't change all this stuff. You can't change it either. But Isaiah said, I know who can.
Amen.
I know who can.
I know who
oh,
can.
God.
Amen.
Oh, God, yes. Rip open the heavens,
yes,
and come down.
Yes.
You know what Isaiah was saying? He said, God, please hurry.
Amen.
Please hurry. Please hurry. Don't use the stairs, God. Don't even use the elevator. Just rip open the heavens and drop down. Come on, just lift your hands and tell him, God, just drop down. Lord, we need you to hurry. We need you to hurry. Our nation is in a mess. Our country's in a mess. Oh, God. Oh, God, we need you, God. Lord, if there ever was a time the church needed you, it's today. If there was a time our world needed visitation of your power, it's today, God. Oh, we need you to hurry. We need you to hurry, God. We need you to come down, God. Oh, God, I'm shut up. Just drop down on us, God. Lord, don't take the stairs. Don't take the elevator, God. Just drop down on us, Lord, because we're in a mess. Our country's in a mess. Our families are in a mess, Lord. Oh, God, we need you. Even many of our churches are in a mess, God, ordaining homosexuals, ordaining lesbians, God. Lord, many of our churches have departed from the faith. Oh, God, we need you to come down. We need you to come down and straighten out some things. We need you to come down and manifest your power. We need you to come down and demonstrate your glory. Show us, God. Show us that you're still God. Show us, Lord, that you still love us. Show us that you're not finished with us, God. Show us that the church, Lord, is still your bride. Show us, God, that you love us. Show us, God, that you'll still work with miracles, signs, and wonders, and gifts of the Holy Ghost. Show us, God. Show us, God. Cause the waters to boil. Cause the waters to boil, Lord. Pots that have been sitting, Lord, that have no fire. Pots that have been sitting, Lord, that haven't boiled in years. Cause the waters to boil. Lord, haven't spoken in tongues, Lord. Haven't spoken in tongues for years, God. Cause the waters to boil. Boil out that crud. Boil out that stuff, Lord, that's clogging up the channel. Boil it out, God, until there's a free flow of the Holy Ghost and power. Until your anointing is flowing freely. Until there's an expression of the presence and the glory of God flowing out of our innermost being. Come on, talk to me. Come down. That was Isaiah's prayer. I'm making my prayer. God, I need you to come down. Let the mountains melt like wax. Let the mountains melt like wax. Let the mountains melt like wax. Oh, God. This is how it starts, church. This is how it starts. This is how it starts. This is how it starts. You stir up what he's already given you. You stir up what he's already given you. Come down to San Luis Obispo. Come down to Santa Maria. Oh God, come down on the Central Coast. Templeton, Lord, and Paso Robles, Father. Come down in Santa Barbara. Come down in Los Angeles again. Come down in Fresno. Come down in Visalia. Come down in Hanford. Come down, oh God. Desperation. 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 God, we're desperate. We're desperate for another day of your power. Another day of your power, God. We're desperate. If you don't do it, it won't get done. If you don't do it, it can't get done.
Yes. I kose inahaka ali. Ai ilahanai. Si roho pese ne I le. Ai akole ekasa ai aniki. Roso ne ikala. Ase ne he. He se ke ne I roko ne lahania. Alabahakaishi. She se kolo no I si ki. Nahai ilako sanga naha. Sita baba tolo mundo sita. Ira boja sada.
For the Lord would say, yes, I am in the heavens. I have seen. My eyes run to and fro throughout the earth, beholding the evil and the good. And yes, I have seen that this world has gone a long way the wrong way. And yes, I have seen that even within my church has many has departed from the faith and have gone astray and gone the wrong way. But I am hearing the cry of my people today, not just from this place, but other places as well. And their voices are blending together. And I am hearing a cry that is coming up before my ears, saith the Lord. And I am moving off of my throne, saith the Lord. And I am going to answer the cry of my people. For I will come down in your midst, saith God. I will answer the cry of my people. For the cry of my people will not go unnoticed. And it will not go unfulfilled. For when you call unto me, says the Lord, I told you I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things which you have not seen. For I am thy God, and I care about my people, and I care about my church, and I care about this world, and I am coming in power. I am coming in glory, for I am coming to answer the cry of my people, saith the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Can you praise him for that right now? Can you praise him for that? That God hears us. Come on, I want you to do this with me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes.
Jesus.
For the Lion of Judah, Jesus has triumphed.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you,
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Indeed, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has triumphed. The devil is under our feet.
Yes.
I believe God is answering. I believe He's answering. I believe He's answering. I believe He heard our prayer. I feel a shift. I feel a shift in the spirit. I'm going to ask you to take this, Isaiah 63. I'm going to ask you to make this your prayer through the week. And just let this soak into your spirit. Let it soak into your spirit. Because I'm going to tell you something. When we lose our hunger, we've lost everything. I've never been embarrassed about crying. But I've had the devil try to jump on me and tell me, hey, you need to hold it together. You need to hold it together. You need to be more composed. I got a word for the devil. Shut up. Shut up. Shut up. I want God to touch me.
Yes, amen.
I need Him to touch me.
Jesus.
I need to be desperate for God. I don't want to have to be put in a situation that makes me cry out because circumstances have become so horrible. I want to say to God, because I'm willing, God, I need you. I need you. I'm going to say this and then we're going to dismiss you. The condition our world is in cannot be fixed by any politician. It cannot be fixed by a revival of Trump revival. It cannot be fixed even if you went in and fired every rhino. You cannot fix the mess our world is in. It has gone a long way, the long way. The only thing that can turn our nation around is God.
That's right.
It's the only thing. And the only hope of getting God on the scene is you. Right here. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. Sister Sharon, just come right here. If I stretch your hand to Sister Sharon, she just needs a touch from the Lord today. Father, you know. You see, you care. You love her, Lord. Lord, she surrendered her life to you, everything, Lord, to you. Touch her right now, Jesus. Touch her, Lord Jesus. Let your fresh oil come upon her life right now, Lord. The fresh anointing of your spirit come upon her right now, Lord, and touch her. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
How many believe this was a word for today? A word for us. It was really a word for our country, really. So say this with me. Say, today,
today
I did not just hear a sermon.
I
heard a prophecy. And what I know about prophecy is I become responsible for the prophecy I hear.
Lord,
I want your prophecy,
to
be fulfilled in my life. So here I am, an active participant. Do it with me.
Do it with me.
Do it through me.
Do it through me.
In Jesus'
name. In Jesus'
name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Brother Ken.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, continue with each and every one of us, Lord, because you know and you have prophesied into our hearts and into our lives something that we've never seen before. God, go with us, Lord, now, that we will be different people for you, Lord, and that you will show us, Heavenly Father, because we come expecting to see the answer, Lord, and help us to show our diligence and desire for you, God, because that's what's going to take to get what we expect from you. In Jesus' name, we all shout, amen.